Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lakeside. We want to thank you for joining us online. We want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. And this is one of those weekends that we'll probably remember for a long time for a lot of different reasons. And I'm sure this is true of your family, our family. There's been just a lot of kind of disconnection. Everybody's been separated and kind of isolated a little bit from each other. My mom, Rosemary, she's been doing very well. She's been physically distancing herself, physically protecting herself from us kids and from her grandkids, and trying to stay healthy, trying to stay safe. And so she's been joining us online, watching. I have to be very careful what I talk about in these sermons because she's there to fact check everything that I might cover. But Mom, if you're watching, I'm sure you are, happy Mother's Day. And we wish the best to you. Laura's parents, Don and Margaret Green, they've been able to come down and visit with us a few times. And we've done carry out. They've been a little bit more adventurous. But I'm sure it's true for many of you, as it is for my family, that this is a very different week for a lot of reasons. We have a dear friend that used to attend Lakeside that's been staying at the Villas Nursing Home up in Sherman. And as you know, there's been a lot of people affected by the virus up in Sherman, up in that particular facility. And fortunately for her, she's been in a different building that has not been affected, so praise God for that. But what's interesting is her family has been going and visiting her through the window of her room and of the building that she's in. And so we have an amazing way of adapting and figuring out Mother's Day and doing everything that we can to celebrate and honor our mothers. We'd like you to do something this morning, if you could, if you're watching online. Maybe you could check in or post a comment, or in chat, you could do the check-in card. But just tell us how you're making this day special for your mom. What are you doing? What unique things are happening with your family this afternoon? We'd love to hear from you and get a picture of that and share some of that. This morning, I'm speaking on the theme of how God breathes into our lives when life doesn't make sense. There's a lot of times in life where we just hit a wall and we come to kind of an end of our own wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and we're looking to make sense of things. And I think one of the great luxuries that we have in life is having some trusted person in our life that we can always call on the phone and maybe say, hey, what do you think? Or what are your thoughts? Or what is your perspective? Or how should I feel about? Or what should I do when? There's all these moments that we run into when life doesn't make sense. And it's great to have a lifeline, somebody that we can call, that can guide us and give us counsel and lead us through a situation. This last week, I reread a book that I'd read many years ago called The Divine Mentor. It's a book written by Wayne Cordero, who's also a pastor. And in that book, he does a great job of just reflecting on how God surrounds us with all sorts of these divine mentors in our life. People that God has positioned in our lives to lead us through some circumstance or season of our life or challenge that we face. For example, you can just make a list of some of these. I'm going to give you several examples. One example of a divine mentor is our parents, our spiritual parents. They often speak wisdom and knowledge into our lives. They give us that critical understanding or perspective that's needed. I'm sure it's true for you. When I look back on my life, I can't imagine what my life would be like if my parents didn't so patiently speak wisdom into my life and give guidance at critical times. I think of Laura and the wonderful wife and woman that she is. I think of our marriage. I think of our ministry together. And what would all those things be were it not for her parents speaking into our lives, mentoring her, me, us, and so many others. I was thinking this week about a conversation that I had years ago with my dad. I'd spent a weekend with some friends up in Chicago, and on that same weekend, Dad was having heart surgery. And I'll never forget On the way home, I visited him in his room that very first night as he was recovering, and they'd wheeled him into a private room, and nurses were tending to him and answering questions that he had, and they were being so tender and so kind with him, and he was kind of bantering a little bit with them as he was always known to do. And everyone from our family had left from the day, and the lights were turned down in the room, and it was dark, and it was late, like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And physically, Dad was just in such a weakened condition. And I could tell that he was so encouraged when I came into the room. He lit up, and it meant so much to him that I thought to stop. Now, of course I did. I wouldn't have not stopped. I mean, that was the very most important thing on my schedule for that whole weekend, was to stop and check in on him with that surgery. But what was weird about that night is he was there physically worn out and tired. But as I entered that room that night, I was spiritually and emotionally burned out. I won't get into all the details, but I was experiencing some tremendous strain in ministry. And there were some challenges that I was dealing with that were very overwhelming. And the very last thing that I wanted to do that night was burden my dad with, like, what I was struggling with, what was going on with me. I was there for him. And I remember how that night in that room, Dad saw right through my mask. And he asked me very pointedly how I was doing and what was going on. And I did everything I could to deflect. And I'm a professional deflector. I'm great at deflecting attention away from myself in that way. But he just persisted. And he saw some thread, and he just kept pulling on that thread until that mask that I was wearing unraveled. It kind of caught me off guard. But here he is, he's hooked up to all these machines. And yet it was as if the Holy Spirit was speaking directly through him to me. And he just had the right words and the right things to say to me that I needed to hear at that time. And I remember he just kind of unequivocally affirmed God's call in my life. And he affirmed some things that he saw about how God was at work in me and through me. And in just the most sincere and godly and passionate manner, he pleaded with me to just keep on keeping on and to keep on fulfilling the thing that God had called me to do. And that's what I'm talking about. That's an example of how God mentors us and guides us through our lives. He raises up Spirit-led people, a parent, to breathe wisdom and knowledge into our lives, to give us a better perspective or deeper understanding so that our lives make a little more sense. And it's such a treasure and a gift, especially on Mother's Day, to think about our parents, our mothers, our fathers, and especially those spiritual mothers and those spiritual fathers that have been such an encouragement to us. It's often the case that when we grow up, maybe we don't have a spiritual parent, a spiritual father or mother. And so another way that God leads us and guides us is that he raises up spiritual surrogates in our lives to mentor us and to lead us. And so there's people who speak wisdom and knowledge into our lives. They give us greater understanding and perspective, but they're not necessarily a blood relative or a blood relation. A surrogate is a substitute, a proxy, a replacement. It's some person who can stand in a gap and be for us what we need at a given time or season of our life. The reality is that a lot of folks have grown up in very broken families. And maybe you didn't have the relationship with your mom or your dad that you longed for. What we see is that for every failed parent, God raises up a myriad of spiritual fathers and mothers to guide us. In the New Testament, there's a young man by the name of Timothy, and we see reference to his mother and his grandmother, but no reference to any father. But Paul was like a spiritual father to him. And so it's very true that God raises up for us in our lives these kind of spiritual surrogates, these people that lead us and guide us and instruct us and mentor us in some way where there's a gap. For every failed sibling relationship or failed friendship, God raises up other friends, brothers and sisters in Christ who will stand alongside of us. You might be thinking of pastors or elders or ministers or teachers, leaders, friends, co-workers, neighbors. Sometimes God even raises up strangers to stand in a gap and encourage us. If you're struggling alone, it's not because of God. If you're struggling alone, it's often because of you or me. Maybe we've not grabbed a hold of some of these lifelines that God has thrown us, people that he's brought into our lives. Maybe we didn't recognize that God had brought them there for a specific purpose. But sometimes we do turn away from these kind of mentors, these spiritual folks, these surrogates, if you will, that God brings into our lives. And so one of the things I'd encourage you to do right now is just to kind of lift up your head and look around and consider, you know, who might God be bringing into your life right now to just encourage you and to give you wisdom and guidance? You know, who are the spiritual resources that God has surrounded you with during this time? God always provides somebody for us to lean on. Some other examples. Throughout history, God has raised up spiritual giants. And I'm talking about, people in history, in Christian history, that God has raised up to serve in a special way, in a special time or place in our world. You might be a very reclusive person, but if you're truly a reclusive person, it's probably true of you that maybe you like to read, and maybe that's what you do when you're withdrawing from relationships. Well, even if you're the most reclusive person, you live, and I live, during one of the most largest explosions of information in the world. We have access to more information, books, and resources than any one person has had available to them in the history of the universe. Even a decade ago, even a few years ago, we have more access to books and resources than any other generation. Back in the day, Abraham Lincoln, I told you last week I've been reading his biography about him, but he would walk across rugged terrain for hours, for days, being eaten alive by mosquitoes, going through total misery, just because there was somebody that he knew had some book that he wanted to borrow that he thought would help him. And so I think about what a great man Abraham Lincoln became. And he would say that he became a great man because of reading, because he was able to just get these books and sit under some tree and be mentored by some person that wrote some book. And that's an amazing thing to think about. As I've read Abraham Lincoln's biography, I'm usually sitting in the comfort of my bed with my head reclined on my soft pillow, and I'm reading about all of his misery getting all these books, but I just get on Amazon Kindle, and usually for like a couple of dollars, you can buy any book that he read, and you can benefit in the same way that he benefited from. But Abraham Lincoln was a political giant. But what I'm talking about are spiritual giants. And do you realize that right now, the writings of most every spiritual giant in history is readily available to you and me, practically for free, but often not even more for a dollar or a couple of dollars. We can get on our app, we can get on Kindle, we can get on Google, and we can read some of the greatest works, Christian works of history. Every great Christian man and woman, we can read their stories. We can gain insight on the wisdom and knowledge that they received, the perspective, the understanding that they had on their times and the challenges that they face. And it's amazing. Like, you can spend a day with E.M. Bounds. You can spend a day with Dwight Moody, a Francis Schaeffer, a C.S. Lewis. The list is endless. A John Wesley. Whenever I read the words of these giants, it's like, man, you're being mentored by some of the finest people in Christian history right there. But they were mentored by somebody. And so you realize that for every spiritual giant, they're standing on the shoulders of another giant. And that person's standing on the shoulder of somebody else. And on it goes. But we can tap into all the mentoring of these fine men and women throughout history so easily. And why wouldn't we benefit from their witness and their testimony and their stories? More specifically, God raises up inspired servants. He's raised up inspired witnesses. And now I'm speaking more specifically about those people that we read about in the Old and New Testament. Every spiritual giant that we've read about in history stood on the shoulders of one of God's servants in Scripture. So God raised up servants, prophets, priests, kings, apostles. The list of names is virtually endless in Scripture. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Job, Moses. You go through the prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, all these great men. You look at Hebrews 11, that great hall of faith, and what all these extraordinary men and women accomplished for God's glory through faith. You read about Peter and James and John, the 12, the apostles. We can be mentored directly by the writings and the stories of these individuals just by looking into Scripture. I want to share a couple of verses with you that talk about this. One is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. The Apostle Peter is talking to us, and he says, "We didn't follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, no, we were eyewitnesses." So imagine being able to be mentored by somebody who is an eyewitness of Christ himself. Peter's saying, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from that majestic glory saying, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased.' We ourselves heard his voice when it came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain." You know, these aren't like men and women of Christian history. These are the foundational folks that were right there with Jesus in all these different places and all these different circumstances. These are more than just spiritual giants. These are specific servants that God was sharing his witness through. And we can go right to those individuals in Scripture, and we can benefit from their perspective and their teaching. One other verse that talks about this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Peter says, "We also had the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you would do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you should know this, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from a prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came from the will of man. Instead, men spoke," men like Peter, men like David, men like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, "they spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." You know, we have this Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God, stocked full of accounts of God's dealing with mankind from the very beginning, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And for free, we can be mentored by Moses. For free. Could you imagine spending a day? How much would you spend in cash to have an hour or a few hours or a day with any of these people? Abraham, Isaac, Solomon, David, the apostles. For free, we can be mentored by these great men that God raised up. God's given us also his inspired word for when life doesn't make sense. Romans 15:4 says that whatever was written in the past, all right, whatever was written in the past, it was written for our instruction, so that we may have hope through endurance and through the encouragement that comes from the Scripture. These are inspired words that lead us and guide us and keep us from darkness. Paul, I mentioned that Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy. Well, Timothy lived a very blessed life, not just because of men like the Apostle Paul, but because of his mother and his grandmother. Well, what was the treasure? What was the great gift that they gave to him? Well, they helped him know the inspired scriptures. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, we read this. Paul tells Timothy, he says, as for you, continue in what you've learned. Continue in what you firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every kind of good work. Paul was telling Timothy that these words are your mentor. And there isn't any challenge, any circumstance, anything that you're going to encounter in life. And the greatest challenge that we face is death itself. These will make you wise for salvation. These will make you wise for life. And what a blessing it was that so many different generations, Timothy's mother, his grandmother, Paul, gave him the gift of understanding these scriptures. And they started laying that foundation even from infancy. Hebrews 4:12. I got to mention Hebrews 4:12 when I'm talking about how the Word of God can mentor us and guide us when life doesn't make sense. It says, the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. There is no mystery in our hearts that the Word of God can't unravel, that God's light can't shine into. And so God's given us his inspired word to lead us and to mentor us. Another divine mentor is God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. I don't think we can overstate the immense value of Christ's life. In the New Testament, it records everything that we need to know about Jesus, his coming, his words and deeds, his life, his ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father in glory. Every word in the New Testament it points to Jesus. And so, but Jesus is more than just words on a page. Jesus is the living word. He isn't an old dead guy, he's alive. He's the fullness of God, now resurrected, now reigning at the right hand of God. And when life doesn't make sense, we can look to the life of Jesus specifically. He's our great example. And he's the very purest, and he's the most perfect one upon who we can gaze and find life. Everything about his life, when contemplated, when reflected upon, renews us. I was thinking of this verse in Colossians 3:10 that says that we've put on a new self. And what's the distinction? What's distinctive about that new self is this: you're being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. Just the mere knowledge, just the mere contemplation of Jesus' words, his deeds, his life, who he is, just contemplating that breathes new life into us. You know, just listening to a sermon, singing a song, reading a Bible verse about Jesus is transformative. He's our great example, Jesus. He's our God and our Savior. And so his example is something that can mentor us through the challenges that we face. Of course, I've got to mention the most greatest mentor of all, and that is that God has sent us his Holy Spirit. And one of the ways that we can understand the Holy Spirit is to understand that the Holy Spirit is a divine mentor with a capital M. Even though God's raising up all these other people and these spiritual giants and his word in our life, nothing is greater than the gift of his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a divine mentor. From the lips of Jesus himself come some of the most remarkable promises ever. And I'm just going to give you a couple examples of scriptures that talk about where Jesus talks about this gift of the Holy Spirit. When life doesn't make sense, you know, Jesus knew that he would ascend into heaven, that he'd no longer be face to face, physically present with his disciples. But he said, I'm going to send forth my Spirit into the world. And there's so many different places where Jesus talks about how the Holy Spirit would teach and mentor and guide and lead us as his people. One example is John 6:45, which says, Jesus says this, it's written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Isn't that an amazing statement? They will all be taught by God. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us about God. He definitely uses the example of our parents and these spiritual giants and God's servants, but God uses his word. God sends his Spirit to teach us all that we need to know. In John 14, verses 16 through 17, Jesus says, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Now, let me pause there for a moment. What's a counselor? What do you go to a counselor for? When life doesn't make sense, you go to a counselor. And that counselor listens, and they very gently, if they're a good counselor, they gently instruct you and bring about clarification and wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and they guide you through the challenges that you're having into a richer life. Jesus uses this word counselor to describe what the Holy Spirit would do in our life in relationship with us. But another word for counselor is mentor, that this Holy Spirit is our divine mentor. And Jesus says he'll be with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth. The world's unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you do know him because he remains with you and he will be in you. John 16, verses 12 through 15. Not just on one occasion, many times Jesus continued to teach about the Holy Spirit and what he would do for us. He says, I still have many things that I want to teach you. Imagine Jesus had a clock and he couldn't pour out all the teaching that he wanted to in his disciples. And he's probably a little bit frustrated. You know, they weren't learning as quick as maybe he wanted at times. He has more to teach them. How's that going to happen? He says, I've got more to teach you than what you can even bear right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you, lead you, teach you, mentor you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own. He'll speak whatever he hears. And he'll also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from me what is mine and he'll declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and he will declare it to you. The Holy Spirit picked up and continued ministering right after Christ ascended into heaven. He picked right up there and continued to lead and mentor and guide these disciples. When I think of these different ways that God mentors us, the vast sum total of everything we've been talking about this morning, I kind of feel this way about it. There isn't any rock in this dark universe under which you or I can hide that God can't shine light on us. God breathes in so many ways when life doesn't make sense. He raises up spiritual parents. He raises up spiritual surrogates. He raises up all these spiritual giants throughout Christian history that we can look back on and learn from and benefit from, and many of you have. He raised up his inspired servants of old. He gave us his inspired word. He sent his one and only son to be an example for us. But most of all, God sends forth his Holy Spirit, our divine mentor with a capital M, who woos us and convicts us and calls us and guides us and teaches us and instructs us and encourages us and leads us. And so we're like never so alone. We're never so isolated. We're never so sheltered so as not to be able to be reached and touched and breathed on, taught by God's Spirit. And so, man, there are so many other passages that we could elaborate on. But this morning, I just want to leave you with that simple thought that God breathes on us when life doesn't make sense, if we would just raise our heads and listen, we'd hear his voice. We'd hear the voice of his spirit guiding us. So let's do that. Let's pray. Dear Father, on this weekend especially, we thank you so much for the example of our mothers. And also soon, Father's Day is coming. We'll thank you for the example of our fathers. And we realize that you've not left us alone in this world. You've surrounded us, not just with parents, but with so many great people who have been led by your spirit. They've been spirit people. They've been spiritual. But Father, even more than those individuals, you've given us your word. You've given us your son. You've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us yourself to lead us and to guide us. Father, if we're in some spot this morning where we're struggling and wrestling with the darkness and we're looking for light, maybe we call out to you in prayer. Maybe we just look to your word, look to your spirit, look to your son, look to you as Father, and maybe we experience your presence and power at this time. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.